Radio, and here we go, another episode of We Talk Music is on there and in your ear, and once again, I am your, I don't know, your host, I guess we'll say, Martin, and with me is the King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. You are the chief defender of the faith, is that correct, Brett?
That is absolutely correct.
And what are you defending today?
Well, today we defend rock and roll, you know, some good old classic rock sound, you know, that melodic rock, and we are doing that with an amazing guitarist. He's played with Hardline, The Storm, Two Fires. He's got a new solo album coming out. He is Josh Ramos. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. You're doing good, too.
You know
so,
it.
Yeah.
Well,
staying alive, you know?
The nice thing about, you know, the world as it is, and we can't leave the house, is luckily I don't like people much anyway, so... You know, I'm trying to take the positives now. I mean, honestly, I miss live music more than anything in the world right now.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
That's such an experience. I always loved it, but now my appreciation has gone to a new level.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. I know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the same thing for you as far as playing, but probably also even just being around it or seeing other bands play and all of it.
Right. Well, I mean, with a new CD coming out, I mean, usually, you know, I go to Europe and I play. And I mean, besides that, my girlfriend lives in Hamburg. So around this time, I should be over there now. But yeah, I can't play. I can't go see her. I can't, you know, so yeah, it's messed up every way.
Yeah, it really is. All we can do is, you know, bend down the hatches so that we can go and do these things. Hopefully sooner rather than later, but on to the new album because, man, it's – Brett and I were just saying before we started this show, it's like I think he's got every one of our favorite singers just about.
Yeah, like really close, really close.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty damn close. There's maybe like two or three names that aren't on there that I could think of. Like it's an unbelievably impressive list. Is this your list? Is this from Frontiers? Is it combination? How do you get this unbelievable lineup?
Well, okay, let me go back a little bit. So the original idea was to have Joe Retta do the whole CD. But there was a conflict of interest between doing my CD and he was in the band Heaven and Earth. And they were going to be recording a CD too. And Stuart, the guitar player, didn't feel right about lending out his singer to my CD while they were going to be recording their CD, which I mean I kind of understood. So then I had to go back to the drawing board, and then Fabrizio mentioned something that I had been wanting to do for a long time, which was have different singers on a CD. I mean, even going back to my first solo CD, I had this idea even before Carlos Santana had his idea for Supernatural, where he had all those different singers. I had that idea first. but Serafino from the label didn't really think that was a good idea because, I don't know, if you go on tour, how are you going to get all these singers to go on tour with you? So...
That was one of my questions, admittedly.
What?
That how would you tour with all these singers? That was one of my questions. But please finish your story first, and we'll get back. We'll swing back around.
Okay. So, again, Joe Retta was supposed to be the singer. He couldn't do it, so that Fabrizio, my producer and bass player, said, well, why don't we use different singers? And I go, well, yeah, but I don't know if I tried doing that before. And I don't know if Serafino is going to go for it, but he said yes. So I started calling some of, you know, my friends, which were like Harry Hess and Harry Ilius from XYZ and Eric Martin and Fabrizio and Tony Mills, obviously. So, and Fabrizio started calling some of his friends, which were like Tony Harnell and John Bishara. And so we got it done. I mean, yes, I had reached out to other singers too that weren't able to do it, but I think we got a good amount of great singers on here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you absolutely do. You mentioned Tony Mills and the sequencing has his song Last, which seemed very fitting Was that done on purpose since his unfortunate passing? I think it was in April of 2019, so it must have been quite a while ago he recorded this for you.
Right. Well, first of all, the sequence on the CD, him being the last performance on there, I don't think that was intentional. I mean, the sequence was already talked about that we would do it before he died. So, but I had talked to him when I was in Germany, actually, at my girlfriend's house. We talked and, you know, I always wanted to work with him again. Like, the only time that I got to work with him was China Blue. And we did all that separately. I did my guitars in L.A. I never met the guy, but we talked on the phone. And so, therefore, I reached out to him. And I knew he was sick, but he wanted to do it anyway. And, yeah, he did. Man, and I found out, I mean, I wanted to make sure, so I reached out to his wife to see if this was the last song that he had performed and worked on, and she said yes. So, yeah, that was his last performance on my CD.
Wow. And it's such a great song.
It is a great song. And do you feel like, I don't know, it's almost an extra responsibility then for the... You know, that this is the last performance of the guy. Like, I don't know what that would be like.
What would be like?
To know that the last performance of an artist is that has passed away is on your album. You know, Do you feel a responsibility to try and get that song out there to share his memory?
Well, you know, there's not much I can do. I paid my responsibility with having him perform on my CD. Mm-hmm. Now it's all up to the record company to make sure that it really gets out there. But obviously in my interviews, like I'm doing right now, I always mention Tony and I really, you know, appreciate what he did. And I know that he was sick towards the end, and the fact that he even got energy to perform on my CD is just amazing, you know. And I always think of our last conversation right before he passed.
Would it be too much to ask what that conversation was? Is that too personal? Or
no, it was just at first I wanted to know whether, you know, he would sing on it, and then he said, yeah, just send me... I actually talked to him twice. He said, send me the song. And so I sent him the song. And then later on, we talked again. And he just wanted me to it was positive. And we talked a little bit about his illness and things that he was doing. He was even towards the end, he was working on his bike, trying to get that together. So, I mean, you know, most people would be, you know, just totally bummed and probably in bed crying that they're going to die. But, you know, obviously he continued with his life till the end. So it speaks a lot about a person, you know, with their drive to still perform and give it one last shot, you know?
Yeah, I think we're comfortable saying we all hate cancer.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that disease continues to take from us after all these years. But on to the rest of the album. Like you say, you have so many great singers on there. One of them is our good buddy, Danny Vaughn, a good friend of mine and Brett's. What's your relationship with Danny?
Well, Danny came to the CD through Fabrizio. Back when I was in Hardline, we were talking about doing a tour together, but it never did happen. And so when we started talking about the singers that we could possibly get for this CD, Fabrizio said, well, I know Danny Vaughn. I'll ask him. I'm sure he'll do it. So Danny came through Fabrizio. I don't really know him. I did thank him, and we've shared an email, but I don't really know Danny.
He's definitely a lovely guy, lovely guy. And I mean, Blameless Blue is also one of my favorite songs on the album. Like, I really struggle to discern a favorite because as I kind of go through them, I'm like, ooh, that one's really good. Mm. Oh, yeah, but that one there is really good, too. So it's so interesting to listen to it. Now, would you say that it's better now that you have all the different singers, you know, and not being able to go with just Joe Retta? And, I mean, Joe's voice is amazing, for sure.
Right. Well, I mean, it's apples and oranges. You know, having Joe on the whole CD would have been great, too. But the thing that having different singers on a CD brings is all the fans of all the different singers. I know that when I was a kid, if one of my favorite guitar players was guest hosting on somebody else's CD, I would buy the whole CD to have that one song on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully with all the different singers that I have on my CD, there's fans that are, you know, fans of Eric's, fans of Tony Harnell, Tony Mills, John Basaha. I mean, all of them. So hopefully they'll also buy the CD and maybe also get introduced to the other songs on my CD, the other singers. And I mean, it's a win-win situation, basically, all around having the different singers.
So how do you assign the different songs to the different singers then? How does that work to make sure you have the right voice for that song?
Okay, so excluding the Eric Martin song, the other songs we would send, Danny Vaughn actually had recorded that song a couple of years before, and Fabrizio had it, and he said, well, shit, I got this song. All we got to do is put guitars on it. And, you know, put some live drums on there. And basically that was it. I mean, Danny didn't. I mean, he sang the song like a couple of years ago. So that was done already. So it's just a matter of sending a singer different songs and having him pick one that he feels comfortable with doing. And then the rest of the songs you just keep sending to the other singers until they're all gone. So the Eric Martin song, my friend Roger Silver, I've known him for years. He was Neil Sean's best friend, and he's a writer, and he's co-written a lot of songs that are on the Mr. Big CD. Like Going Insane is one of his songs too. So that song was again recorded with Eric's vocals, except or I really had to record the whole thing again from scratch. And then Eric, while he was in town from his other band that he has with all those singers, Fantasia or something, he was in town for like a week, and he was able to re-record his vocals. So, yes, that was his song anyway. I mean, he was the singer on that song, so I didn't have to send that song out to anybody. But basically, that's what we did. We just sang like two or three. We sent two or three songs to a singer, and then they would pick out the one that they thought that would be better for them, and then that's how we did it.
So then tell me about the writing of the songs then. So, I mean, you know, did you, like, how long have you had some of the songs, and how did the writing work?
So, some of the songs were already written already, like Danny Vaughn's song, one of Joe Retta's songs, actually the one on the lyric video. Certain songs were already written, and we just, again, I just recorded my guitars on there. But there's like four or five of them that I co-wrote the music. I didn't write the lyrics. And that was a good thing because, like Harry Hess, and certain other singers, like which one else? John Basaha and Anyway, there was some songs that they actually were able to write lyrics to. So it was a really good collaboration, not singing something that was already written for them, but actually they had an input on bringing their own part to the song as far as lyrics.
So then what's it like going through, like you talk about Blameless Blue, Danny's song and stuff like that. So what's it like going in and adding the lead guitar, like, and that kind of thing? What do you think of when you're thinking lead guitar and like adding a solo and that kind of thing? Like, what's your mindset?
Well, I mean, I have to feel the song, first of all. And I just basically just start, you know, kind of, well, I'll ask Fabrizio to play it for me. And then I'll basically learn the song, the rhythms, we'll record the rhythms. And then as far as the solo goes, I'll run through it a couple of times and I'll, you know, whatever comes out first, basically I'll try to work with that, because usually what comes out first is a true feeling that you had about the song. And then all you have to do is basically fix it a little bit bring certain things into the solo that you might want to work out. But with me, I don't like working out a solo too much. I just like going for it. And the first thing I feel, then I put it down and then I might fix it a little bit. But that's how I like to work. With The Storm, for example, some of my solos were already, you know, figured out. But I would say it was half and half that I just did it. And some of the songs I worked out the solo.
So then I get, you know, it's, you talk about The Storm and now, and of course we know about Two Fires and Hardline and all the other bands that you've worked with. Like, what was the biggest difference between working with those other bands and now, especially working in a solo atmosphere? Do you like having the solo control?
Well, the first Storm album was incredible because that was the first time that I was actually recording with, you know, musicians that I grew up with and went to concerts and was one of the audience looking at them going, Jesus, right? Greg Raleigh, Steve Smith, Ross Valerie. I mean, I saw those guys in Chicago as a kid. I had my binoculars, you know, checking out Neil Sean, and then here I am playing with them. So, but that first album we recorded at Skywalker Ranch here, George Lucas's studio here in Marin County, which was incredible. I mean, that was an incredible place to do a CD at George Lucas's studio. I mean, it was amazing. Then, of course, you know, the Hardline, I did that in L.A. It wasn't anything like The Storm. Two Fires, I flew to Chicago, where Kevin lives, outside of Chicago, in a town called Streeter, Illinois. And he has a studio. So we did the Two Fires there. The second Two Fires we did there, too. My first solo CD I did with Kelly Hansen, who was the singer of Foreigner. He produced that CD for me, and I did that in L.A., the Robert Fleischman CD, I did also in L.A. The China Blue, I did in L.A. Yeah, all of them are different because they're all different studios. You know, you just have to get accustomed to what you're working with. I mean, you should be able to work basically with anything that you're given. The other Hardline CDs, I did in Italy with Alessandro.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was not the second one. The second one I did in L.A. The third one I did in L.A. too. And then the fifth one I did in Italy. And then the LRS I did in Italy too.
Wow, yeah. So now, I mean, you talk about Kevin, of course, and Johnny. Did you ask them to be on the album?
Well, yes, Kevin, I did, but I guess it's a long story, and it's something to do with him and Serafino, and Kevin didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. I mean, I did ask him, and it wasn't because of me, put it that way. Johnny, I didn't ask because we left Hardline not in a good way. No. I asked Kevin, but he didn't want to do it. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting, of course, when you've worked with so many different people. Like, what's it like managing the personalities, I guess, of all these different people?
What do you mean managing?
Well, just like, you know, because everybody, you know, lead singers always have these wild personalities. So like, does it take time to learn what each one's like and their, you know, idiosyncrasies kind of thing?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I mean, singers are a rare breed. I mean, like drummers, they all have their own personality, and you know, it's really weird because it's like every drummer almost has that kind of personality. All guitar players almost have that kind of personality. It's really amazing how that works out and how these people choose these different instruments to play with the character that they are. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, a singer, you just got to work with a singer. Sorry, I swallowed my saliva. yeah, you just have to put that coat on. You know, you just have to understand, okay, this guy's like this. The singer's like this. I guess I'm going to have to treat it that way. So it's just a matter of working with them and kind of reading their personality really quick so that you could make the adjustments to be able to work with them.
Right. Now, you know, when you were in Two Fires, you worked with a lot of amazing people. So like, what was that experience? Like, especially Jim Peterik. I mean, he's one of my favorite writers. Like, you know, working with him, you know, what did you learn from these people?
Well, I mean, you just stand back and you look at the way they are doing things in the studio, and you sometimes don't even have to ask. You just observe, and you just try to, you know, remember it, and you go, okay, that's how he's doing that. This is how he's recording that. This is what he's doing. With Jim, yeah, I mean, we went to London also, and with Two Fires, and it was Kelly Kagi on drums and Gary Moon on bass and Jim Peterik, me and Kevin. And yeah, it was, we did that. And I learned a lot from that too. But you just stand back and you, like Willie Weeks played bass on Two Fires, the first one. And he played with a lot of people. I think he played with Eric Clapton, with the Judds. So it was really cool. And then going to Indiana to record the drums with Kenny Aronoff, and he used to be with John Cougar Mellencamp.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really interesting being there and watching him record, you know, and just his personality. And it's really cool to see a person's personality and the way they play, the way they approach the drums, the recording. Yeah, it was really interesting. Yeah.
Did you ever find yourself just like, I guess kind of attempting to get the stories from them, like just sitting down with them and just, you know, maybe for a drink or whatever, and just trying to get the stories?
Of course. I mean, with Greg and Ross, Valerie in the band in the storm, I mean, Greg told me about Woodstock. He told me about driving behind Jimi Hendrix, and Hendrix had a Corvette, and he was driving, they had a van, and they were like in back of Jimi Hendrix. And then he was talking to me about, you know, when Neil joined the band at 15 years old and the concerts. Yeah, so I love to hear about that. And our manager from The Storm was also the manager that Journey had, Herbie Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
And Herbie also managed Mr. Big, Roxette from Sweden, the Electric Boys. God, so many other bands. And every time I used to see him, it was like a storytelling, you know, episode where he would just, again, I would be listening to him tell all these stories. And yeah, of course. I mean, there's people that have been there before me. And like I said, when I was a kid, God, these were my heroes. And then playing with them and asking them questions and knowing about those gigs back then. And, you know, you're seeing it through their storytelling and their eyes. And yeah, it's amazing.
So then what are some of your favorite stories from your, you know, time with all these wonderful bands?
Well, like I said, with Greg, it was like, you know, driving behind Jimi Hendrix. And then, you know, with all the concerts at the Fillmore here in San Francisco back then. And then when Neil, right before Neil joined the band, Eric Clapton wanted Neil to play with him and Derek and the Dominoes. And but by that time, Santana had asked Neil to join the band. And plus, he was a kid. He just wanted to stay here by his friends. He didn't want to go to London. And so, you know, that's a story. And just, I don't know, Ross had a lot of different stories. And, you know, Kenny Aronoff with John Cougar Mellencamp had stories. And you know, I don't really have one specific story. I just, you know, there's just a lot of stories that I was able to be a part of and listen to it.
So when you're playing guitar, I mean, you know, as a whole, like with all these bands, like what kind of setup do you usually go for? Do you carry multiple guitars when you go out on tour? Like, you know, how does that work for you?
Well, I can't carry multiple guitars because, you know, you're going to Europe. I usually carry like a gig bag on the plane with me that has two guitars in there. So, you know, with Hardline, when I played there with Kevin, we did a concert called Voices of Rock with Jimmy Jameson, bless his heart, and just a bunch of singers. And, you know, it's hard to bring, unless you're on a major tour and you're doing like a month or something in Europe, then you bring like a case of all your guitars in there. But if you're doing like a week or just maybe a show or two there, it's not smart to bring a lot of guitars. So I usually bring one of my Washburns and maybe a Les Paul, just to have the difference between both guitars. And but yeah, that's what I do. And then with amps, usually the writer, they already know what amps you're going to use, so they try to get them for you. By the time you get to the gig, they already have them there. And if they don't, you just try to do the best that you can. I mean, I would bring with me a little unit that has like distortion and chorus and clean tone and delay that I could use in case I didn't get the sound that I was getting out of the amp that they had. So I would try to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have like a favorite guitar at home? I know we were talking to another guitarist recently and, you know, talking about like the recording guitar kind of thing that he uses at home to record his music. And so I'm just kind of wondering, do you have something like a favorite that you just play at home?
Well, it depends on the different parts of the song that you're doing. Like either a Les Paul or my Washburn, which has EMG pickups on, which I'm endorsed by EMG, they have a really nice full sound. So I'll do the rhythms with that. And like, let's say if I were doing clean parts, I like to have a Strat because of the single coil pickups. So I would, you know, use a Strat for like the clean stuff. And then for solos, I like using my Washburns, my N4s, which is what they're a signature model that Nuno Bettencourt from Extreme, those are his guitars. And I've been using those since the storm back in 92.
Wow.
Because the company was in Chicago, and I'm from Chicago, so, but I love those guitars. So that's usually what I play on solos and stuff. Like on this, my many sides, the CD that I have, I use like my Washburn, the Les Paul, an Epiphone Les Paul, also a nice Strat that I brought with me. Fabrizio had a nice Strat too. So yeah, it just depends on what you're doing, what sounds.
Yeah, because I'm always interested. I mean, especially when we talk about growing up and the people. I mean, you talk about Neil Sean and of course Santana. I mean, these guys are amazing guitarists. And like, did you go through periods where it's just like, oh, I want to try to play, I want to get the same guitars that they have, and I want to try to see if I can be like them, and then you kind of build your own style through like guitars that they played, that kind of thing. If you understand what I mean.
I know totally what you mean. When I was growing up, Jimi Hendrix played a Strat, so I got a Strat. But as you go on, you find out that, you know, there's other guitars that you admire, other guitar players that are your heroes playing. So in my case, you know, Gary Moore was a great inspiration. He played a lot of guitars, but his blues side of them, which he did later on in life, he always used the Les Pauls. Jimmy Page used the Les Paul. I was never a really big Jimmy Page fan, but he used Les Pauls, and Neil Sean used Les Pauls. So basically, that's why I got the Les Paul. And then I had the Strats. And then later on, I got the Washburns because of not only because of Nuno, but because they were really great guitars. The neck and the design that they have allows you to go all the way to the high notes without having to, you know, strain and stretch your fingers or anything. And the sound on it is beautiful. That's why I got it to that. But then, yes. So my favorite guitar player, let's go back to that. So my favorite guitar player, and this is aside all of my other guitar players like Gary Moore, Neil, you know, was a guitar player called Alan Holdsworth. And he was the most amazing guitar player I ever seen in my life. His style was a legato with his left hand, and he played with the Tony Williams, and Tony Williams was an incredible drummer that played with Miles Davis. And I mean, this guy was doing stuff. I mean, this is Eddie Van Halen's teacher, like not teacher, but this is the guy that Eddie Van Halen looks up to. Right. So you figure sometimes, wow, as Eddie being so good, who does he look up to?
Yeah. Right.
Sure enough, it was Alan Holdsworth. And, I met Alan. I snuck into a club when I was a little kid to see him because I heard, you've got to see this guitar player. I wasn't old enough, and I snuck into a club to see him. And ever since I saw him, I was like, oh, my God. And then I saw him throughout the years until he died at when I went to see him at the NAMM show. You know the NAMM show in Anaheim?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. So I was there. And I felt something was going to happen to him. And I asked my girlfriend, she came to visit me from Hamburg, and we went there, and I got there, and he signed all my CDs for me, and we talked, and then he died 3 months later. But I got two guitars that a signature model that he used, that he played later on in life. And then when he was with, in 1987, 88, he was with the company Charvel. And then he was also with Ibanez for a little time. And I've got that guitar too. So yes, I do order guitars because of my guitar players playing them. I want to feel the same feel that they had, you know, play like, wow, this is how he felt when he played this guitar. So yes, I've done that.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
because that's always such an interesting thing too. Is like guitars are just one of those, like as a drummer, I mean, it's not like you collect drum kits per se, but like as a guitarist, it's so easy to collect guitars because there's so many different sounds, they have different personalities, there's just, you know, there's so many things that you can do with it that, and the history of the guitar in that regard is so fascinating that I can understand why you would be a collector.
Right. And I never wanted to be a collector. I always saw guys with all these guitars go, why? If you're happy with one guitar or two, then just play those. But as I've noticed, you know, it's like, God, I want to play that guitar. I want to get that guitar. So, yeah, that doesn't work. So I probably got about 15 guitars.
Yeah,
not 15.
Not too bad.
And still there's guitars that have, like, I mean, if you look at Billy Gibbons with all his Les Pauls, you look at Yngwie with all his Strats, you look at Steve Vai with all his guitars, you're like, okay, at least I don't feel so bad having 15 guitars. They have like 30, 40, 50 of them.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, I've seen documentaries and like they go into the vault of like 50.
Right. I can't help but think about Spinal Tap and the tour.
That's right.
Through,
yes.
You know, Nigel Tufts guitar. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it is. So what would have been the plan if you were touring, you know, for the album? Would you have just tried to find one singer who's diverse enough to be able to sing all the songs well?
Exactly. I've asked, well, before this whole bullshit pandemic, I had asked Joe if he would be interested, and he said yes. So actually, the song that Tony Harnell sings on my CD, Joe sang it before.
Mm.
But Joe would only do four songs. So we gave that song to Tony, and Tony just did it. I mean, he doesn't really sing it like Joe did. He does his own thing in it. But, yeah, exactly. I would ask Joe, not because he's my favorite on the CD, but because I think he would be the more flexible singer to be able to do that. Whereas Tony Harnell, he's busy with his stuff, and maybe even TNT, and Eric is busy with that stuff. And so there's different singers that are busy. I mean, another singer I would ask would be Terry Illius, but Terry also has a lot of stuff going on. Yeah, I would just have to see who's available.
Yeah, Terry Elias is
one of our absolute favorites for sure.
Since XYZ, and then we saw him with Great White, and it was incredible. And shortly after, he was gone from the band. And we're like, what the hell? He was so awesome. So I'm glad to hear he's busy.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. He's a nice guy. I like Terry a lot. Yeah.
Now then, you know, when you talk about I mean, you talked about a couple of them with the vocals. Did they just send in the vocals for the most part?
Well, yeah, everybody has their own recording studio. Terry recorded his song at Fabrizio. So he actually lives in L.A., so he came down to the studio, did his vocals there. But everybody did their vocals where, like Eric did his vocals here. Harry did his vocals in Canada, where he lives. Tony Harnell did his vocals in New York. Well, obviously, Tony Mills did his vocals in England. John Basaha did his, I guess, in L.A., I guess. Yeah. And then Danny, I don't really know where Danny lives.
Spain.
Do you know who Danny
is? Yeah, he's in Spain.
Spain. We know Danny very well, so.
Yeah. But where does he live?
Spain.
Oh, Danny Vaughn lives in Spain?
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where his woman is from.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always fun when we want to try to talk to him because we gotta arrange the time zones.
Right. At least with us, it's not that bad.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, you know, in this kind of case, it's funny because we talk about a Frontiers record that's not produced by Alessandro Del Vecchio. So, I mean, it's kind of nice to not see his name, I guess, to a certain degree. Was there ever any pressure from Frontiers to do anything like that? Or was it always kind of like, no, this is your thing, you do it?
Well, Well, when like I said before, things were not good with Alessandro and Johnny and me when I left Hardline. And so I did not want to use Alessandro because it's like almost every band that Frontiers has or something. So everything sounds almost the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I had worked with Fabrizio here because he lives in L.A. He's Italian. I worked with him with the Hugo Ramos. He produced that for me.
Yes.
So I asked him. I called him up and I said, "Hey, Fabrizio, what's up? Listen, would you be interested to, you know, do another CD with me?" And he used to work with Frontiers, but something happened where he didn't work with them anymore. But he said, "Yeah, let me talk to Serafino." So I guess they talked and they patched things up, and so he was able to do my CD. I wanted something different. I know this CD of mine sounds different, the production and all that stuff. It sounds different from the stuff that I've done before, but it's because Fabrizio wanted it to sound different. He didn't want it to sound like that. You know, he's got a blues band, right? An R&B blues band. He works with Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. He works with, again, Kenny Aronoff is like in his studio all the time. He just wanted a different sound and a different direction for this CD, and which is okay. You know, mm-hmm. I'm always up for change. You know, and I wanted to write something also like a little bit of 70s sound too, like a Bad Company or a, mm-hmm. you know, I like those bands too. And I wanted to go back a little bit to those bands. So basically that's what happened. I asked Serafino if I could do another solo CD. And then when he said yes, then I called Fabrizio up. Or no, I called Fabrizio first. And I asked them if he would be interested, and then I called the record company. And then they said, "Well, yeah, if you could put it together and stuff, yeah." And then that's how I did it.
Nice. Well, I mean, I know that Martin and I both really love the album, My Many Sides, and I know we're going to listen to it again and again because it's got that sound that we just love.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you.
So, Josh, go ahead.
Oh, please, go ahead. No, I was just going to probably do the same thing you're about to do there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Josh a chance to plug everything, you know, let everybody know where they can keep up with you, you know, all the latest news and anything else that's coming out that they need to know about.
Well, again, with this pandemic, it's really hard to do anything anymore. And I wish I did have other things like, yeah, you know, so in September, I got a tour happening. Yeah, obviously there's none of that. So, you know, the only thing is that I hope that the fans enjoy the CD. I hope they enjoy the different singers on there. I hope this keeps them going. And at some point when this whole nightmare ends, I can't wait to start playing again and go out there and, you know, go to Europe again and play in front of the fans.
That's great.
But yeah.
Yeah. So we're all
waiting for that day.
Yeah, no doubt. So the album comes out August 7th and it's called My Many Sides. And,
right.
And absolutely, I urge everybody to go out and get it because your work obviously is phenomenal anyways, your guitar work, but I mean, with all those singers, this is, you know, it's an awesome, awesome disc. And thank you so much for coming on the show, Josh. We absolutely appreciate it. Wish you nothing but the best.
Oh, thank you guys. Thank you so much. And it was a pleasure for me to do this. And stay safe and let's hope that this pandemic, we could get control of it and so that bands can play out. And music is so important for people. It's like a lifeline, you know, it keeps you going and going to see a band and, you know, looking forward for that. So I hope that it happens soon. But thank you guys so much, huh?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Fascinating conversation.
For sure.
Yeah. Great conversation. And, you know, we got almost all the singers we want. We'll give you a short list of two or three more to add in for your next album, and you'll have them all covered.
Yes. Well, I already asked Jeff Scott Soto, and he said yes.
So oh, really? Nice. That's one of them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I had already Robin McCauley.
Oh,
again,
another one.
We love Robin. He's a great guy.
Yeah, but I think he was doing this band called Black Swan or something.
That's
so
right.
He couldn't do it, but I think I'm going to do another CD like that with different singers. Let's see what happens.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we look forward to talking to you about that, and we certainly look forward to hearing it. So, Josh, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.